Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Certain issues are raised year after year in the state legislature. Take the tax on food in South Dakota. Advocates of repealing the food tax say the state's tax structure is regressive. The Senate Taxation Committee recently considered legislation to drop the state portion of sales tax on food items. Proponents say it helps people with low income. Opponents say other programs can help the poor without losing revenue for the state's general fund. Here is today's In Their Own Words.
We'll then move to the final bill that's on the calendar for today, which is Senate Bill 104, which is an act to reduce the rate of sales tax on certain food. This was introduced by Senator Heinert, who is present with us today. Senator Heinert, if you wish to come forward and testify as a proponent.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senator Troy Heinert, District 26 from Mission. Thank you for allowing me to come before your committee today. Senate Bill 104 is very, very simple. We are going to step down the state portion of the sales tax rate on food. This is an opportunity to reduce taxes for the people of South Dakota. It's very simple. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Senator. Well, we'll move into a new area for at least myself, and I think a lot of the members of the committee, and we'll be taking testimony by Zoom. Who do we have for?
All right. Thank you so much. So good morning, Senator Johns, and respected members of the committee. I am Judy Blowett. I am the registered lobbyist for the Presentation Sisters of Aberdeen. And I am speaking as a proponent for Senate Bill 104. South Dakota is only one of a few, and my data would suggest only three states that still tax groceries at the full sales tax rate. Sales tax on groceries worsens income inequality. Low-income people pay much more of their income in sales tax than higher income because they spend a very large share of their income to meet basic human needs of food. And here's the data. The lowest income fifth of families, so those making less than $20,000, pay almost eight times more as a share of their income in sales tax than the top 1% of families, which make over $500,000. This means that on average, the lower income families spend 7.1% versus 0.09% on sales tax for food, or for groceries specifically. The revenue systems in states that rely heavily on sales tax thereby create additional barriers for lower income residents, making it harder for them to afford daily expenses like gas for their cars. And if we want to look simply at buying of groceries, the data is equally compelling. The lowest income fifth of families, and again, that 20% of those lower wage earners spend almost twice the share of their annual income on food, 10.3% spent on groceries versus 5.7% of income in the highest or the top 20% bracket. This data becomes particularly troublesome in the state of South Dakota. So let's look at an example of a family of four, so two adults and two children. Assume that one of the family members, one of the adults, is working full-time. According to the living wage calculator for South Dakota using 2019 data, this person, if they work at a minimum wage of, now this is 2019 data, at $9.10 an hour, they're earning right at $19,000. If we convert that to the new minimum wage of $9.45, that equals $19,656. The poverty wage, so for them to even come to the poverty line, can earn up as much as $12.38 an hour. Now, that sounds like a big raise. However, they're still under the poverty level. The living wage, which is really what one would define as what it takes to meet basic human needs, is really setting more at $50,000. So if we look at that typical family of four, they would typically spend $9,063 in food in a year, nothing in child care because one of the parents is home, medical, $7,637, housing, $9,500. Transportation, $11,500. So in other words, if you, and then just the others like gas, utilities, et cetera, $6,000 or $6,378 specifically. So imagine if you or I were a head of the family of four earning minimum wage or even poverty wage, we would have some very difficult decisions in terms of what we would spend our money on. And if we only did transportation or housing and food, that would be the end of it. So hard choices to make. My nephew is a middle school teacher in one of Sioux Falls schools. Of the 1,200 children in the school, more than 50% of the students are in the free or reduced lunch program, which would be below living wage. And between 20 and 30% fall into the poverty level. The school does everything possible, in addition to the free or reduced lunch program, to get food to these students, to include the backpack program and Feeding South Dakota, where this school has one day a week the food pantry, so the kids come and get what they can. In summary, every penny counts. If this bill were to pass, a family of four in South Dakota, according to my calculations, so I stand to be corrected, but would save annually right around $400. This would buy 112 gallons of milk a year or 2 gallons a week, or if we want to convert it to hamburgers, at equal numbers. Senators, let's take care of our fellow South Dakotans. Please vote in favor of Senate Bill 104.
We'll then proceed with testimony in opposition.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Mark Kwasny with the Bureau of Finance and Management here in opposition of Senate Bill 104. Sales tax in South Dakota is low when compared to other states, and the reason is because we have a broad-based sales and use tax. The policy of our state's sales and use tax system is that everyone pays a little, their fair share. Stability is what led to the creation of sales taxes by many states during the Great Depression. South Dakota started ours in 1935. If food was removed from the taxable base, it will cause our sales and use tax revenue to be more volatile during economic cycles, as the tax will be narrowed towards discretionary items, returning us to the very problems that the sales tax was designed to prevent. The economic upheavals caused by COVID-19 demonstrate this point perfectly. While most other states who are reliant on income taxes and narrow sales taxes were struggling, South Dakota's broad base captured the changes in consumer behavior. Certainly, the state's approach to COVID-19 has been different than most other states, and our tax collections have benefited from this. But stability has been proven in recession after recession. During the financial crisis, state tax collections fell 11% nationally, but only fell by 2.6% in South Dakota. which is supported primarily by our sales and use tax, which comprises 60% of state revenues. We can look at other states across the country that now, in the midst of an economic crisis, are seeking to increase taxes on their citizens at a time when that would be very harmful to their citizens and their economies. Proponents will tell you that the bill will benefit the neediest in our state. The state runs the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. While eligibility varies depending on your status, your income, and number of family members, it is a program designed to assist low-income individuals and families. In fiscal year 2020, there were 37,179 participating households in the program in South Dakota, with a total of 78,702 participants. The program paid an average monthly benefit per household of $270.99, for a total spending of $120,900,062 in the state. These benefits are not subject to state sales and use tax or city sales and use tax, and therefore the benefit is not reduced for those in most need. In addition to increasing instability in the tax base, the proposal would reduce general fund revenues. We estimate in the end of fiscal year 22, the state would lose $7.9 million in ongoing revenue. This would increase by roughly $15.8 million per year to $71 million in FY26. Revenues typically increase in a normal year by $40 to $50 million in ongoing revenue. Most of this, as we know, goes to medical providers and education in the state. This would result in 30 to 40% less new funding available to provide increases to those groups, as we know those support the most needy in the state.
We'll call for further testimony from opponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. There's an old song that goes, same song, second verse, a little louder, a little worse. We've been opposing this concept for a very long time for the same reason, and I will ask you to consider it again. But before I go through that, let me tell you, Senator Heiner is right. The proponents of this bill are right. We place a larger burden on people who have fewer resources, which is exactly why we created, back in 2004, a program that allowed us to give money to people that were slightly above poverty, and we did that because this question had been put on the ballot. South Dakota Chamber and the retailers and the business community led the fight for two things. One, to protect that program for a number of years, and to say to the taxpayers what I'm saying to this committee. This solution is too expensive for the problem presented. Losing ultimately $70 million to solve a problem that we could solve with $5 million with a program to help the people who need it. And by the way, that program will be terribly inefficient. We just wrote checks at some point, but that still makes more sense to balance this need than to get rid of the tax and lose the revenue and give a tax break to 95% of South Dakotans that quite honestly don't need it. Please oppose the bill.
On a vote of 7-0, the committee deferred the bill to the 41st legislative day. There is no 41st legislative day, of course, so that bill will receive no further consideration. You can hear the complete hearing testimony at SD.net. Follow the South Dakota Legislature link in the meetings archives section.